Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Noach. Let's turn this around and start with the Shaila first. We know that at the end of the Mabul, we see that Noach makes a Mizbeach, and he brings all of these korbanos, and he brings olos on the Mizbeach. But you would think that after he was saved from the Mabul, he would want to express specifically thanksgiving. So to the extent that he knows to make an ola, perhaps maybe he should have brought a korban toda. Why didn't he? Next, let's move to a couple of stories. There's a terrible story of one of these stories about the Holocaust, where Rav Leibel Kuttner was in a camp, and a Nazi told him he was responsible for a certain machine. And the Nazi came up to him and said, "Hey, you know, you need to fix this." He said, "Look, I don't know how to fix this. You need an expert to be able to fix this." Machines, like you need an engineer or something like that. And the Russia yells at him. He says, "You terrible Jew, you know, you can do it. Go ahead." And without any choice, he decided to give it a try. And a Kosh Baruch Hu gave him siyata to finish, siyata dishmaya to be able to finish it. But the chap from the story was that he remembered then he could always hear that the words of this Nazi saying, "You know, you can do it," and he kind of turned that on its head and said, "You know what, if Kadosh Baruch gives me siyata shmaya, then certainly I can." There's a story of Rav Chaim Brisker had a kol avreichim, and on every Rosh Chodesh he would give them their salaries. There was one time on every Rosh Chodesh he was sitting down and he didn't have any money to give back, and he couldn't even find somebody to borrow from. So somebody saw that he was a little bit challenged and came up to him. He said, "Look, I know somebody who is wealthy from London who can give you $100,000. And this is enough for you to be able to support the kol for a long time." And Rav Chaim Brisker responded, "Believe me, if this person came to me with the $100,000, I wouldn't even take it from him. Because up until today, every month I turn my eyes up to the Shemayim and I say, Ribono Shel Olam, my eyes are to you. Please send me the money that I need to be able to give my avreichim. And I have this great feeling, I am zochet, this feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there helping me, and I would not give this away for the world." Next story is a story about a wealthy man from Moscow named Avram Rosenzweig. Very, very wealthy, and he went to go visit the Chafetz Chaim to try to give some money, and the Chafetz Chaim was unhappy when he saw this individual, saying, "Well, why are you so unhappy?" And he kind of went back and forth, didn't want his money, and all of a sudden he came out, and the Chafetz Chaim just started bawling. He started crying. He says, "Listen, I know you want to give me this money, but I just can't think about like how this hand is going to be, is going to have the heat of Gehenna on it for all the Chilul Shabbos that you're doing." And he cried and cried, and Rosenzweig, as the story goes, decided to keep Shabbos after this. And once again, this is just the power of sincerity, how much it can be penetrating to people's psyches. One story about the altar of Slobodka is going through the hallways in Slobodka, and he saw one of the Bachrim who found there was a piece of paper on the floor, and he picked it up thinking it might have been Shemos, might have been something that needed to be put in the Geniza. So he picked it up and he realized that it was something just Dvar Chol. And then he said, "No, I don't have to put this in Shemos." So he threw it back down on the floor. And the Altar Slobodka came up to him and said, "You're doing a Bor Birshus HaRabim." "A Bor Birshus HaRabim? Really? I'm doing that? Meaning I'm making a hole in Rishus HaRabim?" He said, "Why is that?" He said, "A bore in Rishus HaRabim is not just a simple hezek," he said. "It's not just a simple damage, but it's just also to cause the next person to come and pick it up and to stop and stop the traffic and the whole thing. That inconvenience is also a sort of an hezek. So that's true. You are, you know, you're making somebody else pick this up, and that in and of itself makes you a mazik of sorts." So it's just important lekach maybe to all of our parents out there who are probably watching their children and trying to teach them to be considerate and responsible and balei achrayus And this is just a good example of when we make somebody else clean up after ourselves. Maybe that's not the best thing. Indeed, there's a piece in the Tirma Devera saying how sad it is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu cleans our slates from our Averis when we couldn't do it ourselves, and how disgraceful it is for a child to have to watch their parent clean up. So in that sense, we always need to make sure that we clean up both literally and metaphorically after ourselves. Onto some Divrei Torah, when they talk about the Dor HaMabul, they say that Tishacheis Haaretz Lifnei Elokim, the land was destroyed in front of Hashem. And the Shefach Chaim says that of all the terrible things that had happened and all the destruction and everything else, they were really believing that what they did was Lifnei Elokim, that everything they did was the Shem Shamayim. Just like, you know, it's a mitzvah to be a rodef after somebody or to speak that somebody, whatever, everybody can come with their justifications. And they were of no exception. On to three beautiful Mesha Chochmas. One is a beautiful medrash that I love on the fact that if you look, you will see Noach starts out as called the Ish Tzadik, and then he turns out at the end of his life to be called an Ish Ha'adama, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, so it sounds like it's a downfall, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu starts out as an Ish Mitzri, and then later in life he gets called an Ish Elokim, and says Rav Meir Simcha, a beautiful Yesod, there are two different drachim in Avodas Hashem. One is a person who sets themselves out aside for Avodas Hashem, and they kind of keep to themselves. And then there's a person who's involved in Tzorchei Tzibur, and basically they nullify themselves towards the needs of the community, and basically they subordinate their needs for them. So that's true. You would think that the person who spends the time alone and is thinking about holy things and keeping away from the yeshuva and whatever, they're going to go mila mila, and the person who takes care of the needs of the community is going to go mata mata. And that's what it seems to be the medrash in Koheles Rabbah, where it says, Ki Oshek Yehulel Chacham, Rishu ben Levi lost 60 halachos because he was busy in Yonei Tzarchei Tzibur. But nevertheless, we see the opposite happens with Noach. Noach, he is involved in, you can see that he was mizbodeid, and he didn't give tochacha to the people of his door. And therefore, at the end of his life, they said that he was royally chlaya, and he should have been destroyed as well. But decide that he was called an Ish Tzadik, but he went down. He went to a lower madrega, later he was called Ish Adama. But Moshe Rabbeinu completely subordinated himself to the needs of the klal, and he starts out as an Ish Mitzri, and at the end of his life, he is called Ish Elokim. You can see, don't lose out doing the Tzorchei Tzibur. Interestingly and contrastingly, you can find the Chassam Sofer says something different about Chanoch and Avram Avinu. Chanoch set aside all of his life to kind of his own special avoda, and he achieved wonderful things. And Avram Avinu was busy bringing monotheism to the world, and therefore he was unable to achieve the same levels as Chanoch. He said he could have, says the Chassam Sofer, but it was more important to bring monotheism to the world. So there, the Chassam Sofer says that empirically somebody will be able to lose out for Avodas Hashem, whereas the Meshech Chochmah says you can't lose out for the Tzorchei Tzibur. The Chassam Sofer says you can, but it's still worth it. So that is an interesting empirical debate, as well as something worth considering the importance of being involved in Tzorchei Tzibur. Next, right at the beginning, we see that Noach is described as a Tzadik Tamim Hayabadur Osov, and the Meshech Chochmah notes that there were two different doors that we're talking about here. There was the door before the Mabul and the door after the Mabul. And the Gemara says, Tamim Bidurachov, Tamim, the way that he acted, but Tzadik B'maisev, and his, one was in manner, and the other one is his act. Pirush Rashi, Tamim,
What's tamim? Anav v'shafal ruach. He had anava. He was humble. Tzadik, below chamas. He didn't steal. So he says, which are these two periods that we're talking about? Well, during the first period was the period before the flood where everybody else was stealing and he wasn't. So that's where the below chamas comes in. And then after he had already done all of these wonderful things, the door after him had a little bit of gaiva. You know, you see these, look in Perek Yud Aleph, for example. You can see that there's a lot of gaiva there. So there, even though Noach had been, quote-unquote, the guy to bring the Teva and all of that of Ratzon Hashem into fruition, he still was an Anov Ushval Ruach. So he had those two midos in responses to two different times. One more Meshech Chochma on Piryu Rivya. You're going to see why is it there's a Yisod, a Hilchati, that the halachas are that a man is mitzvah in Piryu Rivya and a woman is not mitzvah in Piryu Rivya. So why is that? So long story short, Meshech Chochma says that the Torah is a derechaya derechay noam v'chol nesivo seya shalom, and we wouldn't ask from a human to do something which is extraordinarily painful or kind of against the peaceful nature of the Torah. So therefore, for a man, having children is not necessarily so extraordinarily difficult. However, for a woman, there is danger. There is physical danger of harm. It's talked about in Shas that there's a sakana in giving birth, and because of that, a woman would not be mitzuva in Piryu Rivya, even though, like according to the Ran, for example, women are mesayeya for a mitzvah, and they're definitely participating in a mitzvah. It's just that it's not a chiyuv for them. One more idea that I just think is always important to mention is the Netziv talking about the Dvar Machadim of Migdal Bavel, and then he said that the issue of Migdal Bavel was that they were trying to enforce everybody to be uniform. And they even put forth officers to try to enforce this uniformity. And so that's not the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the world to be. And I would add that, like, it's a very important vort to say that individuality is a value that Yiddishkeit places on people. We say, Kaved es avicha mehonecha. And the drasha of Chazal is mimachonanecha. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, you're supposed to use to honor Hashem. And that includes, whatever special things that you have, even a beautiful voice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a beautiful voice. He wants you to use that. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you articulate, he wants you to speak words of Torah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you tall, there's probably some sort of tafkid for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you who you are because he wanted you to be that way. And because of that, we shouldn't run away from that. And as I've said many times, it's impossible to escape yourself, so you might as well embrace it. Thank you for learning with me, and have a wonderful Shabbos.